Okay, let's turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Okay, we'll just, I guess we'll read a little bit of the story here. I'm going to begin with 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll start at verse 8. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God who passeth by us regularly. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, with walls, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a lampstand. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in there. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say unto her, Behold, thou hast shown care for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Okay, we can just stop right there. Okay. So, this lady is married to an old man, right? He's old. He is an old man. In the New Testament, it talks also about the old man. And it talks about the old man and the new man. And the old man represents, where to begin here? Deal without going into a massive... We know what the old man represents, but let's just cover it briefly. The old man represents the flesh. Adam and Eve in the garden, they both ate of the fruit. Man fell. It says, "In the day you eat thereof, you will surely die." Right? And they didn't physically die, but within them, spiritually, in their walk with God, in their nature as people, they died. It was death. And Adam brought forth, people after his kind. It's the principle of an apple seed brings forth apples. People give birth to humans. Right? Right? And people give birth to humans with a fallen nature, spiritually. There's natural things, obviously, of DNA, and maybe, your kid looks like you and all that stuff. And that's just a little picture of what it is spiritually. And the New Testament talks about that fallen nature in humanity as the old man within. Well, the Shunammite, she is in a relationship with an old man. She's married to the old man. She lives with the old man. He's there all the time. Those of you who are married may think, no, kind of what that's like. It's, that person's there all the time. If that reality dawns on you before you get married, you get what is called cold feet. This person is going to be there all the time. No matter how much you love them right now, in 60 years, they will be there all the time. Right? It can be daunting. I didn't have cold feet. I didn't have cold feet. Hey, I didn't have cold feet. I thought I would get them. I thought I would. About a weekend. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. totally and completely kidding. No, Cassie did, though, for real, like bad. Yeah. I got the microphone. I'm kidding. Actually, apart from, really, neither of us really did. And that's kind of amazing for us. But we didn't. Doesn't matter. This Shunammite woman, she lived with the old man, and he was there night and day. She was married to him. She was in this relationship with him. And this is not a sermon about marriages, right? It's a sermon about a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with the old man, you know. Marriage is a picture of our relationship with Jesus. It talks about it in the New Testament. It talks about it in Romans 7. It talks about the bride of Christ in Revelation. So there is that shadow of our relationship with the Lord in relation to marriage and marriages and all that. And so I just see, you know, I personally have lived with the old man myself, you know, the nature of the old man. And I found that in that marriage, there's always issues, you know. There's always issues, and those issues came, it got worse when Jesus came into my life. Anyway, here in the beginning, it says, and it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. This was verse 8. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And so here comes a man of God, you know, and so she's living with the old man. Here comes a man of God passing by. She constrains him to come in and eat bread, okay? Now, I'm trying to paint a picture here, so forgive me if I'm sound like I'm fumbling around. Her and her old man are living together, and there's issues, right? There's flesh issues. There's bickering. There's fighting. There's all the turmoil that the old man and the old man in us brings. There's always dissatisfaction. There's always excuses. There's always selfishness, you know what I mean, which causes problems. There's the view of the old man. There's all these things, you know, that come with it. Judgment of others, you know, backbiting, gossip, you know. And you know, this can just be within you, you and your old man, you know, together. You don't need any help from anyone else. And so there's all these issues going on, and then the man of God comes along, and it's, hey, come on in and eat bread, you know. And so Elisha, the man of God, comes in, and I bet you when he was there, everything was great, right? Elisha, the man of God's in there, and it's, oh, what would you like to eat? Honey, can you get that for him? Oh, sure, dear. You know, let me just grab. Okay, you want some more? Oh, tell us about God, Elijah, and, you know, tell us some stories, and tell us about the, oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, man, thank you for coming over. Thank you for breaking bread with us. Anytime you want to come back, you just come on. You just come on by, and you can come in, and, you know, he walks away, and they're kind of waving him out the door. I'll see you later. All right. You know, and as he's walking away, you know, life begins to start setting in, and their thoughts turn towards or against one another again. And, you know, the old man goes in and flips the TV on and sits down, and she walks in, and there's just a giant mess from dinner. And it's like, are you kidding me? Did you really just sit down and turn the TV on and you're going to leave me with all this? Are you kidding? You better get up right now and help me with the dishes because I still, you know, I told you this game was on all week. I told you it was coming this time and I'm going to watch it. The dishes can wait. I need to do these dishes. You know, the man of God's far enough away now he can't hear him. He can't hear it. You know, it's all, you know, there's nothing to hide now. There's no more facade going on. He's gone, and it's back to the issues, right? And so it says here, and so as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. So it wasn't a one-time thing. This was a relationship that they had, you know, with the man of God, you know. He would come by, and it'd be, oh, praise the Lord, and we just love the presence of the Lord you bring in here and all this stuff. And there's like, you know, I'm not saying there's nothing real in their hearts towards the Lord. Certainly there is. But it certainly is not the goal, you know. It's not what we're after, you know. It's not what anyone with a heart for the Lord would be satisfied with. And so there's this relationship of constantly, man of God comes, oh, everything's good, and everything's good between us, and it's good with you, and everything's good, okay, bye-bye, and then it's back at it. You know, and after a certain amount of time, you know, the Shunammites just got to be thinking like, oh, the man of God's coming, thank God, but he's going to leave. And then it's just going to be back to the same old junk. You know, back to the same old junk. Obviously, this relationship here where there's just the coming by isn't working. And it says, and it fell on a day. And I think that's significant. And it says it a couple other places in the story. And we'll look at it, but maybe I'll just touch on it now. It was kind of random. It fell on a day. Like, it wasn't like they invited him over. Like, we need you here now. You know, we need the Lord now. It was just kind of as it happened, you know. And as it happened, they liked it, and it was good. And when they left, you know, it was just life with the old man, you know. And so in the Shunammite, I just saw something in her heart getting dissatisfied with that. Like, you know, this really isn't the life I want, you know. This really isn't the relationship that I want. You know, just every once in a while coming by, and every once in a while, you know, we can get in this thing where, you know, we have so much issues with our old man that we need God to come in and rescue us, you know, time and again. Oh, I just need Sunday morning worship to get here because I'm having some issues, you know, some serious issues. You know, I gotta have... you know, someone to pray with me, or someone, you know, in particular to pray with me, to pull me out. And, you know, we need the body of Christ. I'm not trying to discount that. And I've gone to many of you for prayer over the years. And I trust will. But there can be this walk in the Lord that is based on hoping he comes by. You know, when your real life is caught up with the old man. You know, your everyday life, you're living with the old man, you know. And again, she desires more. And so, in verse 9, it says, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God who passeth by us regularly. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, with walls, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a lampstand, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in there. And so, we'll just read the first part of verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came there and turned into there. And so now they built a room. Now they built a room for the man of God, and they thought, okay, this isn't working. We need more. This passing by and coming for dinner every once in a while isn't cutting it. We're just totally faking here. You know, we only do okay when he's here. We only do all right when that moment is there. We're only doing okay when the Lord is really moving on us. And if the Lord's not really moving on us through something, we're just basically walking with the old man. You know, it's not okay. There's got to be more. There's got to be more of the Lord. Let us prepare a place for him. You know, let's build something. Let's build something. Let's make something so that he can stay here, and he can stay here more, stay here longer, longer periods of time. And so the man of God comes over, and they break bread, and they eat, and, oh, yeah, oh, we're so glad you're here, and, oh, things have been great, you know, and, yeah, you know, we go through stuff, but we're really working through it, you know, and all this kind of thing, and this relationship, and then the man of God says, all right, I'm going to go to bed now. You know, thank you guys for making this place to me. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm going to go to bed. And so now he goes to bed, and he's in the other room, and he sits down and turns the sports on, and the dishes still need to get done. And so instead of screaming, it's just quieter now. It's, you better get off. I don't care. I'll yell if you make me, and he will hear it. we've been through this time and time again. You better get up and help me clean the dishes right now. I swear to God, I'll go in there and get them. Go ahead, woman. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're just going to look bad. I'll tell them. And really the issues are still there. You know, the issues are still there, but there's more, there's more of an awareness of him. Let's say there's more, a little bit more of an awareness of Christ in us, you know, or we've heard the message of the cross, and we've heard it's Christ in you, and so now it's like, you know, we know there's more than just Jesus passing by on Sundays, or occasionally, you know what I mean? And there's more to just needing like a recharge every week for the rest of the week. You know, he's here. Oh my God, he's here. I better act like him. I better act right, you know, because I'm supposed to be crucified with Christ and I'm not supposed to be having these old man issues, you know, because, you know, Romans 6 says the old man is crucified with him, you know. Okay, the old man's crucified with him. He's pretty alive in this house. You know? And I know what that's like. The old man's dead. Did you tell him? I don't know. I think he doesn't know, maybe. Because he's really, there's some real drama happening here. And so, you know, it's like Jesus is in the other room now. He's not just passing by, but he's in the other room. He's close. You know, if it gets too loud, he'll hear it. And somehow he'll know. You know, we're not really maybe walking in this thing like we ought to be. So we just try to keep things down, you know, and then we call that Christ, right? Because I've heard that my old man's crucified with Christ, and I believe Christ lives in me. So I know he's in there in a chamber tucked away on the other side of the wall. But I'm definitely still having old man issues. But I want to believe the truth, so we're just going to keep it down to a whisper now. And our arguments and our struggles will just be like, okay, stop it, shut up. You know, this kind of thing. And does anyone know what that's like on the inside? Let's say your real spouse does something. And in the name of the cross, you just are just like, oh, okay, Christ lives in me. Okay. So I'm going to do the dishes now, you know. And it's just the old man, you know, just totally, you know, just doing works. You know, yeah, me too, you know, totally, totally. That just can't be it. Can anyone say that just can't be it? I mean, that just cannot be it. That just can't be the goal. And we can't be satisfied with that being it. You know? I mean, we can't be and what would make someone really, in a way that would stop them from going after the Lord, be satisfied with it? Well, there's probably more ways than this, but it makes you look good to others. It makes you look better than what's really happening in you to others. Right? And if that's valuable and precious to you, then and you get good, you know, you and your old man, you get good at keeping things down with Elisha in the other room, you know, that relationship can just go on forever. Because nowhere in this story does Elisha just come out and say, this wall is separating me from being in the rest of the house, and we need to tear it down, you know, because I know what's going on in here. All right, I can hear you guys bickering and arguing all night long through the walls of paper thin. Give me a break. I'm a man of God. I can hear people's thoughts. You don't think you don't think I can hear you guys and your nonsense at one another? Come on. You know, he never does that. He's just like, thanks, you know, I think Jesus is kind of like that. I mean, yes, he wants fullness, and yes, he died for that, and yes, that's our heart here. But man, he is so tender and full of love that if we give him a little room, you know what I mean, he'll stay in that room for years. You know, if we'll stay in there for a lifetime, and he's never just going to come and be like, come on, you know. I mean, he moves in our hearts, but he moves in our hearts according to something that's going on in us too. You know, it's a marriage. It takes two. But I think, you know, he's happy with whatever place will give him. You know, his love is just that strong and pure. And because this story is about something that's happening in the Shunammite woman and something in her heart progressing and coming on. And so this thing of, you know, we can be satisfied with it because we can present ourselves as having arrived, let's just say, to others that way. And so, let's see. Well, we'll just read verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast shown care for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And see, I just kind of see him just kind of like asking her, you know, what do you, you know, you're drawing us closer. You know, you're drawing me closer. What are you really getting at here? You know, what are you after? Would you like me? I mean, I think it was a genuine offer from him. Would you like me to mention your name to the king, to the captain? You know, back in those days, if your name got mentioned to the king, I mean, there's stories where people's names got mentioned to the king, and the king was like, well, then give them these lands and these riches because, you know, they've blessed you. And, you know, the prophets in these days, a lot of their ministry was to kings, or to the king at that time. You know, and the kings knew, for the most part, that God was with these men, you know, and it's good to get in good with them, you know. So needless to say, there could be great benefit with Elisha, the man of God of that time, mentioning her to the king. I mean, they, you know, it could just be wonderful for her glory, you know, and her life, and making her something and making her good and making her something before other people, you know. And so we ask, is that what you want? And she basically says, no, that's not it. You know, that's really not why I'm asking you to stay here. And really, I think in this woman, there's nothing evil going on in her. You know what I mean? She is just moving towards the Lord. She's simply just going towards the Lord in the ways that she knows how at the given time. And that's really all that we can do. We move towards the Lord in our heart, and he brings us in to what that really means. You know, the motive things is a big roadblock that does have to be dealt with. And he said, in verse 14, he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. So she stands in the door. That'll come into play later. And he said, about this season, when the time cometh, and that can be translated according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son, according to the time of life, at that season, that Elijah had said unto her, according to the set time. So, you know, the relationship, and it's going to be hard for me to bridge this gap, because this was one of the most unclear parts the Lord showed me. But he says, you know, she says, I'm not in it for that, you know, and I believe it was in her heart that, you know, she was in it for life. She wanted something real. She didn't want the fake thing that was going on. She knew that wasn't it. And he said to her, according to the time of life, you know, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. Now, every believer has life. Right? Christian has life. Christ, if you don't, you ain't a Christian, you know. You have Jesus living in you, and there is that measure of life. And this lady, she brings forth life, and it's small, and it's little, and it's a baby. You know what I mean? But there is life there. And when you have a kid, you know, it's everything in you for that child to thrive, you know. You want to feed it all the right things. You find yourself, you know, researching stuff on the internet, like, okay, what can and can't this be? You know, your kid gets a runny nose, and it's like, oh, my God, we got to go to the ER right now. You know, Maybe this is, I've only had one, so this could just be like a first kid thing. Like, oh my God, the kid sneezed. Get online, mayoclinic.com. you know, or they cry a little bit longer than normal, and their face turns kind of red, and it's like, she's hurting. Is there intestinal bleeding? I don't know. She can't tell me. What do we do? Wait, call the nurse hotline. Call her now. Call her, Cassie. Come on. Yeah, she's had to live with the old man a little bit sometimes. And it wasn't just in her. But there's a heart that says, you know, we're going to raise this kid right. It's going to grow up. It's going to grow into maturity. You know what I mean? We're going to raise it. The problem is she's raising it with the old man. You know, she's raising it with the old man. And as we're Christians trying to mature into life, mature as believers, mature into the Lord, which is what's going on in her relationship with the man of God, it's a, I want more. I want more of the Lord. I want it to be more. I want it to be more real, and it's fake. And we're trying to grow in the Lord. We're trying to grow this thing up. But it's still, you know, it's really just still with the old man. You know, and there hasn't really come that breakthrough thing or that thing that just makes it free, really free from the old, to walk in newness of life and it not be this, like, fake thing, you know, this fake thing of hiding it and the facade and all that. And so she's raising this child, but she's raising it with the old man, and, you know, she's probably walking around with this kid and being like, life, look, you know, there's life happening in this house, and see this life here, and this life is growing, you know, and we're feeding this life, and we're doing the right things, you know, me and the old man, you know. And there's, all along the way, there's just the old man issues all along the way, because he's there, and if he's there, you have the fruits of the flesh, you know, either manifesting or growing and taking root and, you know, all this stuff. You know, I'll just say this, you know, raising a kid is real stressful. It can be, you know, it can be real hard on, it can be hard on a relationship. It can also bring you together more, you know, but, you know, you go from just you guys hanging out and kind of in your free time doing what you want together to changing diapers, you know what I mean? And just like laundry, and it's just like work, like crazy. You know, I mean, it gets easier when they grow up, right, guys? Okay, it was like crickets. you know, and if you're doing it with the old man, you know, if you're doing it with the old man and you can't forget it, you know, just forget it. And I say that as a type of, you know, of this relationship and this story, and I hope I'm communicating it clear enough. And when it comes to the old man, and the old man bringing up life, and you trying to bring something into maturity to live before God into life with the old man, you know, if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You know, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. When it comes to walking with the old man, married to the old man, living in union with the old man, when that's really what you're living by and what's going on, death is inevitable. It's, you know, there's not going to be the life of Christ come out of that. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen. You know, this relationship of keeping it down and trying to keep things under wrap in the name of the cross and all this stuff, that's not the road and path to life. Just not. You know, if that's a path we're on, the end of that road is death, you know, whether you're aware of it or not. And so we have verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day, there it was again, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Now, I just can't imagine when this played out in real life. You know, I can't imagine doing that, you know, with your own child and that. and that happening, but I saw it as just a real big eye-opener to her, to the Shunammite. Like, all of a sudden, death is apparent, you know. Like, this relationship just went straight to death, you know. This isn't it. This isn't ending in life. This isn't life. This isn't going towards the life of Christ and the fullness of Christ. This thing has just fell apart. There's death here now, you know. And we know what that can look like in our lives. Death, you know. And you think, this was supposed to be for life, and now there's death. And now I'm not talking about the death of the cross, right? I'm talking about death because of walking with the old man. It's different. It's the wrong kind of death, you know, not the part that we want anything to do with. Sorry. And so this death happens, and she's just like, oh, my gosh, what is it? What is it? Because apparently I don't have it. And a lot of times it takes something like that in our lives to break us from Ishmael, you could say, to break us from what we're calling the seed, from what we're calling Christ. We're calling the keeping things bottled down and bottled up so we can look good to others, calling that Christ. No, that's not Christ. It's death. It's dead. It's a dead thing. It's not Jesus. I've been calling the Son the seed and the one, and now it's dead, you know? It became apparent to her, this isn't it. This isn't it. This isn't the way. This isn't the one. This isn't how we should have been proceeding. And so it says, verse 22, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of these asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. So now something happens in her heart that just snaps. Or she's like, you know, forget this. Forget this. We're getting life back, you know. The man of God isn't here, just the old man and death. So I'm going to him now. And that's where it comes, the saying of, and it fell on a day. It fell on a day. It fell on a day the man of God came by, and it fell on this day. There was no going after him in those things. He just came by then. You know what I mean? We're just going about our business, and church happens. A word from the Lord happens from the body. God comes and moves on your heart. But apart from those things, there's really no going after it. It falls on the day, and it happens, and the Lord moves on you, or the Lord moves through someone on you. The Lord moves in a service, and that's when you experience it, and things are good then it's back to the old man. And so it falls on a day, you know, and it just kind of seems like this random thing, and it's, hey, it's okay to live by this, and then it falls on the day that death comes in. And she realizes, like, no more it just randomly falling on a day. I can't just sit here and wait for him to come by again. The situation is too dire, you know. The consequences are too much to keep living like this and to keep proceeding like this. I have to go to him now. I have to really get after him now. And so she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the goats, okay, that I just read this, and come again in verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. What? What does that even mean? I tried to look it up, and I don't even know. I mean, maybe there's some, I don't get it. Maybe there's some Jewish thing according to that, but I really did like search it out, and I couldn't find anything of why he would say that then. I didn't think you're supposed to travel on the Sabbath. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But what I saw in this is the first mistake was her consulting the old man. Right? Our old man and that flesh nature always has an excuse to not really go hard after the Lord, even in the face of death happening. You know what I mean? Even in the face where there's death, the old man is just like, well, where are you going to go today? He's dead. I mean, what? You know, he'll be dead tomorrow. She's like, that's the point. You know? And why are you going to go today? It's neither new moon or Sabbath. Did that work? Oh, are you still here? You know, we, you know, our flesh, and we know what that voice sounds like. You know, when our heart moves, and then the mind of the flesh just has some excuse. Well, really, you should, you know, be doing this right now and go do that right now. And I mean, that's a principle that even carries into, like, I'm going to really get in the Word right now because you're hungry. Well, remember the TV show, you know, or remember you told this person that you were going to do that. And so you better fulfill your obligations. You know, it's neither new moon or Sabbath, so there's some kind of godly thing in there. Well, you know, you are committed to the church, and you need to go over there and, you know, do your thing there. And be faithful to it. You know, or whatever. You know, it's the voice of the flesh. You know, and she says to him, it shall be well. She says to him, shalom, which means peace. When I was in high school, whenever I said bye to anyone, I just said peace. I got off the phone, peace. You know, it's when the conversation was over, basically. You know, I just saw her, like, listening to him and just be like, you have absolutely no clue. My kid just died on my lap, okay? I'm going. And she doesn't take the time to, like, explain it with him or hash it out with him or, well, no, maybe, well, the new moon, let's see, when is that? Oh, but I should go now. And, you know, am I really going to get after the Lord or not? I don't know. I should wait till Sabbath. What? You know, she's just like, peace. Okay, I'm getting a donkey. Bye-bye. And so she goes. And that's, you know, that's something that has to be done in us. Go with the heart when it moves for the Lord. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slacken not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. You know, she sets the pace. Elisha doesn't set the pace. The donkey doesn't set the pace. The young man riding with her doesn't set the pace. She sets the pace. You know, she's the pace setter. She's the one determining how fast we're going to get there, right? Riding this donkey. I mean, it's in her hands. It's in this story, in this part right here, it's totally in her hands. You want to get to the man of God? You want to get life back in this thing? You want to find the Lord? You want to find the answers? You want it to be real? Well, how fast do you want to get there? You know what I mean? And I've never ridden a donkey, but I've seen them. I've seen people ride them. That's part of the reason why I haven't ridden them, because I've ridden a lot of horses. It was like a year there that I rode horses all the time, and it looked really different than riding a donkey. Riding a horse, it's actually rougher the slower it is. And when you get into a full gallop, it gets smooth, and you're just cruising. You know, it's really smooth. Donkeys, I've never seen them in a full gallop. You know, when they're going slow, it's the smoothest. And then the faster they get, you just like, you know what I mean? There's nothing glamorous or, you know, on a horse, you're just like, ah! You know, on a donkey, it's just like, oh my God, I didn't want to throw up. I shouldn't have ate before. You know, that donkey's just trotting, you know, you're looking like a complete idiot. You know, you're not on a stallion, you're on a mule. Just, you know, your body getting jarred. And she's just like, this is going to hurt. This is going to be uncomfortable. If I want it to be comfortable, I can just slow it on down. You know? I can just, and we know how to slow it down. Some of us maybe are masters at slowing it down. You know? We're really good at it. We really, that donkey, he responds immediately when we do the slightest jerk of those reins. You know? He's like, oh, you know, we slow down enough and donkey will just sit down and he won't want to go anymore. You know, but there's no mention of her slowing down in this story. Her heart is fervent. The situation and the cost of what's at hand in her eyes is as extreme as it can get, you know. And so she is going, and in verse 25, so she went and came unto the man of God at Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, over there is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. And I just love that part. You know, he wasn't like, well, I should have been there. I should have been in that house. She should have had me living there. She should have had me over for dinner. She should have had me in the other room. There was none of that. Like, I just see the Lord's heart and his love in that. That she's coming to him, and his thought is, go run to her and meet her. Go run and see what she's coming to me for. You know, think of the prodigal. He was the father in the story of the prodigal son. He was standing there waiting, and when he saw him afar off, he ran. You know, it's precious to the Lord when our hearts move towards him. It's precious to him, and he responds to it. We can be guaranteed he responds to our hearts going towards him. Like it says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh unto you. You know, and we read verses like that, like, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Like, you know, just so dull and boring. But when we see the Lord behind it, man, he is full of fire and passion and love. And he tells Gehazi, go ask her what's wrong. Go ask her what she's coming to me for. You know, I think his heart is full of excitement and care, you know. We'll skip down to verse 28. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? All right, so she basically communicates to him that the son is dead. You know, the son is dead, and she's coming based on my son's dead. I wanted him alive. I want life. I'm coming to you now because I want life. I'm not coming to you with the old man trying to make him look good to you. You know, trying to keep things hush-hush before you. That relationship, it just led to death. And I'm coming to you now saying, the situation's bad. Here's what it really is. I need you badly. And then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, greet him not. And if any man greet thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And so, I know in this story there's like a miracle that happens, but I almost see this as kind of an object lesson that Elisha brings to her, right, and brings to us. And I don't know that him saying lay the staff on her was like hoping that it would work, right? Because it doesn't work. And as we read in the story, Gehazi does it and he comes back and he says, you know, nothing happened, right? I don't see Elisha just being like, dang it, what now? God, that's all I had. It's all I got. I got Elijah's mantle, but I'm not giving that up. You know, a staff. What is a staff? It's a branch that is dead and was cut off. Right? Is not the old man cut off and dead? You know, and I just see Elisha bringing this as what's before the face. And what's before our face? What's in our face, right? Just put it on the kid's face. This is what's been before your face, this dead branch, just before your face. And this branch, it doesn't have a life source. It's not grafted into anything. It's not connected into me. Life's not going to come out of it. It's going to be death. That's what you've been doing. That's really what's in front of your face. You know, this relationship of me coming over for dinner, me staying in the next room, you hearing my words, you hearing good sermons, you hearing good classes, you hearing all this stuff, and having the witness of the Spirit to it, nodding your head, but really the power of it really not working in you, the life of it really not working in you, and just getting in this thing, maybe partly to save face with others, of pushing down the old man and making him, you know, a little more quiet. It's death. You're embracing a dead branch. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And so he sends Gehazi off and she says, as the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She's saying, I'm not going with him with the dead stick. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go that way. It doesn't work. It's what brought this about. I'm not following the guy with the dead stick who's going to put it on his face. I'm with you. And now, Elijah, I'll try to do this quick. Elijah, these words here in verse 30. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Has anyone heard those words before? Maybe in a chapter over or two? In 2 Kings chapter 2, you have this story of Elijah and Elisha. Let's just turn there real quick. In verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, it says, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Okay, they go from They go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. All right, here's the Jordan. Jordan. Let's just say here's Jerusalem. I won't write all these. Here's Gilgal. Here's Jericho. Bethel's right about in here. Okay, so when I read this and I looked it up on the map, I thought, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense to me. Because I knew it, and the Lord just impressed on my heart that there's a progression in the story. We're not going to get into the progression of it. But basically, what Elijah ends up saying to Elisha is, we're going to go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. And I just thought, why would you go like this? You know, because I just knew that it was going like this. And so I looked at a map, and there is actually a Gilgal over here. Another Gilgal, right up here. And at this time, when this story happened, the kingdom's divided. I think it's divided something like this. I could be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure that's it. This part is Judah. In Judah, there's the ark. It's where God is, right? There's actually good kings in Judah as opposed to Israel. In Israel, it was the sins of Jeroboam. It was a false religion. There's always Baal worship. Ahab was from there. I mean, there's all just, it's just like the flesh, the kingdom of darkness. You know, that's Israel up here. And their capital was Samaria. Oh, I always spell that wrong. I don't know if I did. Oh, good. Here's the Gilgal, though, okay? So if they start here, go to Bethel, Jericho, and then Jordan, makes a lot more sense, right? The Lord shared with me, this Gilgal and this Gilgal go by the same name. Why is that significant? Well, when Israel crossed the Jordan coming into the land, they stopped at Gilgal. Joshua made himself sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel before they went in to take the land. And this Gilgal was their camp, right? Now, you can look at Colossians. I know there's other ones that refer to circumcision as the circumcision of Christ, the cutting off of the flesh, right? The cross, cutting off the flesh, cutting off the old man, cutting off that staff, that dead branch, you know, putting it away. The real circumcision, the real application of it to the flesh, when the knife really hits the flesh and puts it to death, for real, right? That's this Gilgal. Well, this Gilgal over here, it goes by the same name. But there's actually no cutting off of the flesh happening up here. That's not what that place is. Now, you can say, I'm from Gilgal. Oh, yeah, I'm from Gilgal. And identify with Gilgal, but if there's no real cross cutting the flesh away, you're actually from the Gilgal up here, right? It may be the same name, but there's no death, you know? And you may feel good about it, but in truth, you're in the wrong kingdom. You're up here in this kingdom. And from the view above, God looks down and be like, hey, you ain't down here. You ain't on the banks of Jordan. You ain't where there's sharp knives. You're way out in left field. Way out in left field. And so Elisha has this moment. Now he's with Elijah, and he is like the next in line to take the mantle of the Lord, right? I mean, he's like, this thing's going to fall to me. But nothing just falls to us just because. We have to be in the right place spiritually to actually take that up, right? And so in Elisha, his whole future, and not just his future, the effects that the Lord wants to use him on we'll just say, the body of Christ, his ministry to the body, and what a glorious ministry of the cross that it was, and of Christ, it was all at stake, you know? And I just saw him having this moment where Elijah's like, I'm leaving here. You know, God's sent me on from this place. And he never says to him, now come on, dude, because you're way out in left field and everything's at stake. You know, he never just like pulls him along. You know, he encourages him, you know, you can stay here and I'm going to go. Because this thing has to be in our hearts. You know, if we're going to sit there for the knife, there's something real has to be in our hearts. You know, and Elijah, man, he counted the cost. And he says, he says those same words, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave. You know, when we think of all that was at stake with him, all that was at stake with the Shunammite, of being on this false ground, in this false place. And he knows those words, you know, just in this story. He knows what those words mean, and he's like, I hear you. I understand. I understand what's at stake. I understand what the cost is. You know, this thing isn't something to be played with. You know, our lives are valuable to God because he loves us. He loved us while we were yet sinners, but Christ lives in us now. I mean, a greater measure of Christ is at stake, and that's a real general, theological, ethereal way of saying it. But if we could, by the Spirit, grasp the implications of that and the real cost of that and what that means down to the smallest details of our life, you know, and the Lord knows how to bring us to that moment where we wake up. And maybe we wake up and we're, whoa, dude, I'm out here. I'm way out here. I may say I'm from Gilgal, but I can't even see the Jordan from here, you know. And then we know where his story ends. Ends back over here having to cross back through by himself. and so here back in 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter 4, she, okay, says Gehazi, let's go down to verse 32. And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and lay upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door. Now remember before when she came in there, she just stood in the door. She never really fully entered in. And now he's shown the dead branch isn't going to do it. Here's what, I'm going to show you what this thing's going to take. You start just full on entering in first. You just give yourself. You go. You go in. He went in and shut the door, prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. So he goes in there. The kid's laying on the bed, dead. And he just lays on him face to face. Face to face. Okay? Now, you know, seeing the face of Jesus and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ and all that stuff, it sounds so kind of just really incredibly deep. And it is, right? Here's how the Lord showed me this verse. Like, if Jesus is right up in my face, you know, this is like the truth. The truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. You know, just face to face, like not like there's Jesus over there and the old man in between. The way he laid on him, there's nothing's getting in between them. There's like so close that there's no room for like peripheral vision. It's just the face of Jesus. It's like you want to move your mouth and speak, you know, words of death, words of the old man. They're going to like, this is kind of gross, they're going to like touch the lips of Jesus. You know what I mean? Are you going to really be able to get it out? You know the term, like, people are having a serious conversation. It's like, look in my eyes. Look in my eyes and tell me that. You know? There's something of, like, a seriousness. Of, like, look in my face. Can you still fake it? Can you still fake it when I'm just right up in your face? It's the face of of Jesus we're talking about. And, and I believe he was showing them, like, you know, this has got to go from me coming over once in a while, having dinner, to me being in the next room and you having it down, to me right in your face, where I am what you see, when I am all that you see, all the time. When you open your eyes, you see me. You know, you see Christ. You have, you know, his eyes are looking right into your eyes. You have his view, you know. You have his view. Your head is lined up with his head. It'd be good if our head is lined up with our head. You know what I mean? Jesus is the head. And we didn't get into it at all. But, you know, the kid ran up to the old man saying, my head, my head. Well, here, the kid's head is lined up with his head. And if we get lined up with our head, Jesus, life is going to come forth, you know. And if we're going to get lined up with our head, he's going to have to be in front of us, in front of our face, you know. And not playing around with letting the old man and things come in between and other agendas and all these things, but a heart that's hard after him, that understands by the grace of God, you know, things that are at stake, our relationships, our families, the church, the eternal plan of God, you know, coming forth. I need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. And we'll look at, we'll turn there, 2 Corinthians 3. So this is a good chapter to end on. we'll start at verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Wasn't her relationship with the old man, with Elisha in the other room, a crafty and deceitful way of handling the word of God? I mean, wouldn't that be that kind of way? Just, you know, because you always read that verse and you think of, like, people, like, grossly perverting the truth. Well, what if, like, I'm really living in union with the old and okay with a hush-hush relationship while Jesus is in the other room? Because the truth is, I am crucified with Christ, and Christ is my life. I need that before my eyes. I need the Holy Spirit to bring his face right here, make it real in me. We're commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. we'll just read verse 6, the last one. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we can end with that, but you know, the path that Shunammite was on was a heart path. It was really something that happened within her. It's not something that can really happen just because someone preaches about it happening. You know what I mean? The Lord works in us, and the Lord brings us to that place, and consequences of living with the old man may bring us to that place. but if there's something in our heart that really loves the Lord, and really loves him, doesn't want to stop at the roadblocks of, I'm okay with just looking good to others and this kind of thing. And we can be sure that we will go on. And along the way, there'll be ways of comforting ourselves, of slowing it down, you know, or going hard after the Lord. But, you know, life is at stake. Jesus coming forth is at stake. And truthfully, I mean, I didn't read the verse, but it says she embraced her son, you know, when he finally came back to life. She embraced him. Can you imagine that embrace? Can you imagine that embrace of life, you know? When you really get after the Lord and get with the Lord this way and you see life come forth and it's just, oh, it's pure grace. It's purely by Christ. It's not you keeping things hush-hush. It's not you at all. It's all by the cross. All by Jesus working in your heart, all by, you know, just beholding his faith. And you know, to that mother receiving her son back, don't you think she would have said, you know, the donkey ride is worth it? In fact, what's a donkey ride compared to me getting my son back? You know, and Paul says, you know, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory. A mother wouldn't compare a rough donkey ride to getting her son back from the dead. You know what I mean? I mean, when we can, by the Spirit, get a real apprehension, appreciation, seeing of the Lord and of his life coming forth. Man, it's the same thing. Whatever that rough donkey ride is, it's nothing to the life, to the Son that we embrace as a result of it. Amen. So be encouraged. Maybe you're on a donkey ride. Maybe it's getting rough. Maybe you want to kill your donkey or slow it down or whatever. But, you know, she was riding that donkey and she had her eyes set on something. Let's keep our eyes set on him, set on Christ. Amen. Amen. Maybe let's just pray to close out. And also, if somebody could text Kelly that we're done. I believe oh, you did? Okay. If we could hang out for just a second, maybe in our seats, I think. Kelly's bringing the kids over for something, Mother's Day thing. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we just ask you, by your Spirit, Lord, we would be satisfied with a relationship with you coming over for dinner, these certain things, unless your Spirit worked in us and showed us that there was more. Lord, may our hearts respond to you with a longing for more of Jesus. Father, I just pray for this body. If there's a weariness or a tiredness growing because of a rough donkey ride, Lord, you understand and you know. You know, Father, you know that we're but dust. But Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, not by coming by and eating bread, but Lord, strengthen them by an awakening to reality of what's at stake. That's what moved Elisha on. That's what moved this woman on. What's at stake and how great the reward is and how great the loss is if we don't get Jesus. Father, make this real in our hearts, Lord. We ask it by your Spirit. Amen.